in a new sugya. It's not that much of a missing in terms of the Mimakam, so hopefully by tomorrow we'll get them, so we'll try to do a little bit of it about that. So the Mishnah had started with Masechet Bava Kama introducing to us a principle of Avos and Toldos. So Avos and Toldos basically boiled down to Bava Kama as an Av is something that's written explicitly in the Pasuk. So the Pasuk speaks about a person digging a pit, the Pasuk speaks about a person lighting a fire, the Pasuk speaks about an animal goring. Toldos are those actions that are not explicitly in the Pasuk, however, are based on the same underlying principles what the Pasuk is talking about. So let's say, for example, the Torah speaks about digging a pit. The Torah does not explicitly speak about dropping a banana peel and somebody tripping and getting hurt, but it's a tolda, because the underlying principle of a bor is, I put something in the street, I put something in a place where people are going to fall on. So, in a sense, what's the difference, whether I dug a hole or whether I dropped a banana peel? Or in the case of Eish, what's the difference whether I light a fire or I leave something in a place where the wind takes it and in the process the wind causes it to cause damage? So again, even though that second case is not explicit in the Pasuk, but it's a toldos. So the underlying principle of Avos and Toldos is one of the ABCs of Maseches Bava Kama. Then the Gemara branches out and speaks about Avos and Toldos in Hilchos Shabbos as well. And here also, there are 39 main categories. The 39 main categories are a little bit trickier than Ezekiel because they're not written literally explicitly in the Pasuk, but they are written in the sense of that the Torah describes Malacha as Losasaka Malacha, and Malacha is synonymous with Malacha as a Mishkan. We spoke a little bit about that. We try to fine-tune that a little bit before Yom Tov, whether Malacha as a Mishkan is the only factor, whether Malacha as a Mishkan plus other factors, but it has nothing to do with the Mishkan model. So it's as if the Torah says 39 Malachas, so don't plow, don't plant, don't harvest, etc. And then each one of these actions has subcategories, has toldos as well, which are not explicit, which are not identical to what happened in the Mishkan, but they're close enough to qualify as a toldos. So the model of Avos and Toldos is clear in Maseches Bava Kama, and it's clear in Hilchos Shabbos. What's unclear is, what about in other areas of Halacha? Do we find the concept of Avos and Toldos outside of Hilchos Shabbos, outside of Hilchos Bava Kama? So this is a major machlekes in Rishonim. So there is a tosis in Maseches Bechoros, where Tosfos is discussing the intricacies of a Bechoros Shaila. We very rarely have, at least in America, we very rarely have Bechor, Behema, Tahora Shailas. But there is a halacha. There is a halacha if a person has a firstborn male animal. So that animal is Kaddish B'Kaddishus Bechora. That halacha applies even today. And that halacha applies even in Chutz Laretz. So if you would have a Jewish farmer who has a firstborn cow, sheep, goat, so that would be a very, very serious halachic issue. One wouldn't be able to derive any benefit from that animal. One wouldn't shecht that animal. One would have to wait for it to get a mum. You couldn't even bring about its getting of a blemish. It would be a big, big problem. It's for this reason that the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Maseches Bechoros that the practice was, and has been ready since the days of the Korban, that rather than waiting for an animal to be born and have conditions of Bechoros to deal with, what we do is we circumvent the problem in the first place. Namely, we sell part of the pregnant mother to a non-Jew, and the Mishnah tells us that as long as part of the animal is owned by a non-Jew, then the whole parsha Bechoros doesn't apply. But in theory, if you would have an animal that has Kaddish Bechor, you would have to be careful about a whole series of different halachas about it. So one of the halachas that govern Bechor is a pasuk we just read on Shmini Atzeres, L'savar b'Bechor sherecha v'l'sagoz b'Bechor tzonecha. One is not allowed to shear the wool, to shear a sheep. You have a sheep that has Kaddish Bechor, so it's also in HaTorah, L'sagoz b'Bechor tzonecha. One is not permitted to shear its wool. The Gemara has a discussion, what exactly constitutes shearing wool? So we know what the image, los sagos, if you had to literally translate the phrase los sagos b'chor tzonecha, would mean you take an instrument, you take some kind of a device, some kind of a kli, and your shearing scissors, I know about as much about shearing wool as you can tell, but some kind of a shearing device, and you cut off the wool, and that's considered to be shearing wool. So the Gemara wants to know, what would the din be if instead of doing giza in the normal sense of the word, you just plucked out some of the wool. You just plucked out with your fingers, plucked out with your hands, some of the wool from the animals. That called los sagos b'chor tzonecha. My nephew, who cares? Why would anybody want to do such a silly thing? So the answer is that the prohibition of los sagos b'chor tzonecha applies even after the animal gets a mum. Now, if I have a firstborn animal and it develops a mum, it develops a blemish, then I'm permitted to shecht, then I'm permitted to actually eat it. It still has some degree of kedusha to it. It's actually what's called in halacha psuli hamukdashim, kachim that have been disqualified. But the prohibition of los sagos b'chor tzonecha still applies in full force. So now I have a strange situation. I have an animal that I'm allowed to eat. It's got a lot of long hair. And somehow before I shecht it, I want to pluck some of its wool. Why would I want to do such a silly thing? So the Mishnah explains, because it's hard to shecht. Because the wool, the animal's been walking around for 6 months, hasn't gotten a haircut. It's all, it needs an upsharing. Now it's got this, it's all woolly all over the place. And the shochet can't maneuver the knife properly. So it's hard to do the shechita properly. So the normal thing to do would be to shear that, to clean up that area. So the Mishnah says, wait, you can't do that. You can't just go and shear off the wool. You can't cut off the wool. Even though you're allowed to shecht it, but the prohibition of the summons b'chol tzedekah is still in full force. So, Gavat, what do you do? So, the Mishnah talks about the possibility of plucking out some of the wool. Just going with you in your hands and plucking out some of the wool. Maybe that would be permissible. So, the whole sugya, whole daf of the Gemara dedicated to that problem, to that issue. How do you go about balance, like a balancing act? On the one hand, this kedushas is b'chor. On the other hand, you want to do the shechita properly. Is there a solution to somehow get around to be able to fulfill both? So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara then goes on to discuss the same exact issue could come up, forget about Bechor, could come up on Yom Tov. If a person wants to shecht a regular animal, he wants to shecht an animal, there's nothing wrong with shechting animals on Yom Tov. The Mishnayos that talk explicitly about the Hefter, it's Echol Nefesh, what could possibly be wrong? So for the last couple of hundred years, we have a custom, we don't shecht animals on Yom Tov. Why don't we shecht animals on Yom Tov? A variety of reasons that Charonim give as to where this minhag developed from. One reason is that the Mishnayos in the end of Maseches Beitzos tell us that when you shecht an animal on Yom Tov, it's mutter, but you have to be very, very careful not to do it in a way that gives off the resemblance like you're running a butcher's store, like you're running a meat market. So therefore the Mishnah says, when you, after you finish shechting, you have to carry the animal this way, and you have to do this, you have to do it quietly. All kind of different halachas that govern that it shouldn't become a very, very big zilzul of Yom Tov. So some achronim write that people weren't so careful about these things, they would be mezalzel of Yom Tov. You know, technically, there's nothing wrong when you go to my backyard and shechting an animal, shechting a chicken on Yom Tov. It's achron nefesh, since it was becoming very difficult for the masses to observe these halachas properly. So in the later generations, they said we should stop shechting on Yom Tov. This is going to be the bizarre of Yom Tov. Others gave another reason. Others said that since the numbers of percentage of animals that we were not eating because of Hilchos Treifos, because we're very, very machmir Hilchos Treifos, we check lungs and then we start discarding things right and left. So it was turning out that so much of the shechitas was ending up to be thrown to the garbage, being sold to the goyim. So it ended up that it was a shtickle of shilas of not really being Eichel Nefesh anymore. So for a variety of reasons, different achronim defended the practice that has existed already for a couple hundred years, that practically we don't shecht on Yom Tov. In our world today, it's an irrelevant question because our shechitas are so done in such big bulk in industries and factories, Empire is not going to be open on Yom Tov to shecht. The whole thing is almost a moot question. But in theory, a guy wants to shecht the chicken in his backyard, so even though Me'ikra did its mutter, the minhag has become, for a variety of reasons, not to. But in the olden days, when it was perfectly permissible to shecht on Yom Tov, so here a person's about to shecht the sheep on Yom Tov, and he realizes it's not a bechor, it's not psulgei mukdashin, it's a regular sheep. He realizes it also hasn't had a haircut in a while, and it's very hard to shecht. So on a regular weekday, he would just take his scissors and he would start cutting off the wool. But now the question becomes, is he permitted to do that on Yom Tov? Because one of the 39 malachas is gozes. And gozes, shearing sheep, is not, doesn't seem to be from malachas ochol nefesh. So now he's got himself in a pickle. On the one hand, he's allowed to shecht. On the other hand, to shecht in such a manner is going to be difficult. So the Gemara raises the same solution. The Gemara says, wait a second. The same way that the Mishnah Mechairus talks about plucking off the wool without using the scissors, maybe that's okay. So maybe we should carry that over to Yom Tov as well. So that's the background. So we just summed up two blot of it. No, even if we wouldn't have had the Marmukam, we wouldn't have read those two blot together. I would have given you three words from those two blot. So the bottom line is the two blot, the Gemara Mechairus, talk about this, the same problem. It's an issue vis-a-vis Bechor, and then it's an extended issue vis-a-vis Yom Tov as well. So in the middle of the whole Shach Matai of two blot in the Gemara, at one stage in the Gemara, the Gemara suggests the possibility, maybe there's a split between the two. Maybe there's a distinction between the two. What's the distinction? That maybe in Hilchos Yom Tov we're more machmir, and in Hilchos Bechor we're more mekel. Why is that? This is a lav in the Torah, and that's a lav in the Torah. Why should we be more machmir in Yom Tov than in Bechor? So to explain that one half line in the Gemara, so Tosfos of Maseches Bechoros develops the following yisod. Sometimes you can learn all of Maseches Shabbos, all of Maseches Beitza, and never realize this yisod. You have to learn and you have to read the whole long Tosfos this big and extract this one line of the Tosfos. So Tosfos says the yesod of the entire sugya of Bechoros is as follows. That when we're dealing with Hilchos Bechor, so ein lanu ela mashikos b'Torah. The Torah says lo sagos Bechor tzadecha. That's it. You're not allowed to shear sheep if it's a firstborn animal. is the action that you're doing called Giza or not? So you got to open up your Wikipedia and see what is the definition of Gozes. So there's a picture of a guy with a sheep scissors and a guy shearing a sheep. That's the imagery of Gozes. Al zed nema b'torah lo sagas b'chotzenecha. You have a guy sitting in the sheikhe trying to patchka around and yank out some wool out of the animal's neck with his fingers. That's not called lo sagas b'chotzenecha. And therefore, the Torah never prohibited such actions. However, when it comes to Yom Tov, says Tosfos, it's not enough just to ask, is this the exact identical action that the Torah prohibited? You have to ask yourself a secondary question, namely, even if this is not the absolute definition of Lo Sagos, of Gozes, of Malachas HaMishkan, does this fall into the category of a told of Gozes? And the answer is it does. Because, well, what is Gozes? What's the essence of Gozes? To get the wool off the animal. Well, that's exactly what you're doing. So what's the difference? Well, you're doing it with the shearing scissors, you're doing it derech giza, you're doing it with your fingers. It's all the same thing. It's all considered to be a told of Gozes, even though it's not an av of Gozes. And Yom Tov and Shabbos obviously goes hand in hand. So if it's a malacha of a tolda on Yom Tov, then it's going to be a problem. So then Tosfos turns the tables and says, well, wait a second, why don't we apply toldas by Bechor as well? Why don't we say the same way that the Torah sets up a model of Gozes as one of the Lamedes Melachos, and then all toldas are included. So the Torah sets up a model of Lo Sagos B'chotzenecha, all toldas are included. So Tosfos says, well, the answer is obvious, as Tosfos, that toldas were only Nischachu and Hilchos Shabbos, so Yom Tov again goes hand in hand with Shabbos. Toldos are a Chiddush HaTorah of Hilchos Shabbos, and they have no application outside of Hilchos Shabbos. That when it comes to all other mitzvahs, 612 mitzvahs, we look at the definition itself. Is this what the Tzura, is this the form of the Torah prohibited? If the answer is yes, then it's a problem. If the answer is no, then it's perfectly permissible. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's not enough. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to first ask, is this an Av? And even if you're convinced it's not an Av, then you have to re-ask the question, is it a Toldah? And even though it's not an Av, it's still going to be also Min HaTorah. So in the middle of that one half line in the Gemara, distinguishing between Bechor and Yom Tov, Tosfos says, lies this fundamental yisod, that told us were only nischachu in Hilchos Shabbos / Yom Tov, they were not nischachu in Kol Torah Kula. How did Tosfos know this is so? How did Chazal know this is so? So the answer is obvious, that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos raises the question, how do we know told us exist altogether? Why don't we say, Lo Sasekam Alach Ksiv? Why don't we say that the Torah prohibited malachas? Malachas means malachas ha-mishkan, no more and no less. Why don't we say the buck stops here? If it's not one of the malachas ha-mishkan, then it's not going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, it's a pasuk that includes toldos. There's a whole razzle-dazzle drushing, where we said it's krisos, the yasa, the achas, behena, avos, toldos, the whole drush, whole story. The Gemara has to teach us that there is such a concept of toldos in Hilchos Shabbos. So Tosfos says, great, it's a gzeres hakosav. Toldos is not what I would have thought on my own. I never would have figured out the din of toldos in the first place. Once I have a gzeres hakosav, good. So then I plug in the gzeres hakosav. So Tosfos writes, it's a chiddush haTorah. That the Chiddush HaTorah of Toldos was only said in that area of Halacha where it was said, namely Hilchos Shabbos / Hilchos Yom Tov. In all other mitzvah Torah, so then the starting point is, there's no such thing as Toldos. So according to Toldos, everything is great. The Gemara in Bechoros makes perfect sense. The distinction between Yom Tov versus Bechor. The necessity for a pasuk for Toldos makes a lot of sense, because after all, I wouldn't have figured it out on my own, and even after I figure it out, it's very, very limited in scope to Hilchos Shabbos and Yom Tov. So according to Tosfos, everything is Amakomi of the Bishon. Comes the Shita Mekubetzes in Bavakam, the Bezim and Aleph, and makes one very simple observation. Comes the Shita Mekubetzes and says, the first Mishnah that we're learning, Arba Avos Nezikin, there are four Avos Nezikin. There are four main categories of Nezikin mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim. And the very first observation the Gemara says is, Medektani Avos Mechlal De'ika Toldos. From the fact that the Mishnah calls the Nezikin Avos, we can imply there are Toldos. And then the Gemara spends two blot elaborating and enumerating what the Toldos are. So the Torah describes the guy digging a hole, the Toldos are, the guy drops a banana peel. The Torah describes an animal goring, the Toldos are the animal biting. The Torah describes that the person lighting a fire, the Toldos are, the person leaves something out in the wind causes it to damage something. The Gemara says explicitly, there are Avos and there are Toldos in Masechet Bava Kama. comes the Shita Mekubetzes and asks Sugya and quotes from the Marikat, from one of the Rishonim, from the Marikat, who says that, wait a second, there are toldos in Bava Kama. Bava Kama is not Hilchos Shabbos. Bava Kama is not Hilchos Yom Tov. And there are still toldos. What do you see from here, says the Marikat, that there are toldos in Kol HaTorah Kula. The toldos is not a unique din. It's not what we call a lomd. It's not a din prati in Hilchos Shabbos. It's not a localized din in Hilchos Shabbos. It is a din that permeates Kol HaTorah Kula, i.e. even Hilchos Nezikin. So comes the Marikatz and now turns the tables on himself and says, wait a second. If I'm right that there are toldos, even in other areas of halacha, it's a svara pshuta. There is no posuk in Bava Kama. There's no posuk in Ezekiel to include toldos. The answer is that toldos just makes sense. It's logical. So then why does the Gemara need a posuk in Masechah Shabbos to include toldos by Shabbos? So according to Tosos, who said the toldos are not logical, toldos really don't make any sense, toldos are a chiddush that we never would have applied outside of where the Torah applies them. So then I understand I need a posuk to tell me that without a posuk I would have gone nowhere. But according to the Marikatz's proof, that toldos exist even in Ezekiel in the absence of a posuk, because they must be just simple, plain and simple logic. If they're plain and simple logic, so what do you need a posuk by Shabbos for? So the Marikatz mamish turns the whole sugya on its head. Says the Marikatz that the starting point, the logical starting point is toldos exist. They exist in all areas of halacha, in Ezekiel, and in you name it, there's a parsha of toldos. However, there's one area of halacha one could have suggested, that toldos don't apply. And where is that? In Hilchos Shabbos. Why would one have thought, perhaps, that Shabbos is less than Kol HaTorah Kula? Because in Shabbos, there's one magic word. The magic word is Mishkan. It has to be as close, resembling the model of the Mishkan as possible. Toldos do not resemble the Mishkan. That's exactly what toldos are. They weren't in the Mishkan, or they weren't chashur in the Mishkan, whatever. There was some kind of deficiency in Mishkan. And therefore, one would have made a case, argues the Marikatz, that toldos exist in 612 mitzvahs, and they don't exist in Shabbos. Kamash malan comes the pasuk that teach me, even in Shabbos they apply. So now we have a machlokes from one extreme to another, between the Tosin Becharis and the Marikatz in Bava Kama. Everybody agrees that the Gemara needs a pasuk for toldos in Shabbos. That's not a question. So what conclusion do we draw from that phenomenon? So Tosus in Bechorus draws the conclusion, well, the Gemara needs a posuk that shows us, I wouldn't have figured it out on my own, and that shows us that when there's no posuk, no toldos. Therefore, Kol HaTorah Kula, such as Bechor, no posuk, no toldos. Whereas Marikat says, no. Said, the starting point is, toldos exist, it's a posuk, the svar, it's the same thing. What's the difference whether this happened, that happened, it's all the same thing. So why do I need a posuk by Shabbos? To offset a mistaken havamina, lest I would have erred and said that there are no toldos in Shabbos, but at Kol HaTorah Kula, I wouldn't have even made that mistake. It's so obvious, of course, there are toldos. So you have a machloikis from literally from one extreme to another. According to Tosfos and Bechoros, toldos are so mechudosh that they don't exist outside of Shabbos. According to Marikatz, toldos are so obvious that they exist all areas of halacha. And I would have mistakenly thought they don't exist in Shabbos, but don't worry, it's not true. It's a mistake because there's a pasuk.
What does Tosfos do with Bava Kama?
Oh, that's the multi-million-dollar question. What in the world does Tosfos do with Bava Kama? The Mishnah of Bava Kama says Arba Avos Nesikin. The Gemara spells out Tosfos. What happened? Where? How does Tosfos read the Mishnah of Bava Kama?
And the Marikat entered the Choros.
How did Mariah write? So that one here flying in Bechoros may or may not be the end of the world. We're missing the context of the two blocks. But we're much, much more worried with the Mishnah Bava Kama. So I have to tell you the honest answer to that question is I don't know the answer to that question. The Charon and Pilpul, and Pilpul try to figure out what's the answer to this guy. It's such a glaring kasha. It's a blatant kasha according to Tosfos. It's not a half line in Bechoros. It's a mission, the first mission in Bava Kama. What? Even the yeshivas that don't get past Daf Gimel, they get Daf Beis. Everyone reads the Mishnah. So what's going on now? How could Tosfos deny the notion of Toldos? So there is an Amnenezer, where the Amnenezer tries to show you, and again, I don't really understand it. He tries to show you that there are actually two different kinds of Toldos. That there are some Toldos that are so obvious, that are smaros pshutas, that even Tosfos will agree to, And there are other toldos that are nischachu, and when nischachu only nechus Shabbos. The reason why I don't understand it is that I wouldn't recognize one toldo from the next. I would, once you tell me there are multiple levels of toldos, I'm not sure how to identify what toldos are. Now again, we learned a little bit about this when we spoke earlier before Yom Tov. We spoke about the different shittas about an av in Shabbos and a told in Shabbos and a koav. We spoke about one A and one B. You know, there's Zorei and then there's Zomer. We spent a little bit of time talking about that. So there is such a notion that not all toldos are created equal. That is true, but it would be very, very hard for me to be able to pinpoint which ones are included without a pasuk, which ones are not. So I'm not 100% sure what the answer to that question is going to tell us. But the facts on the ground are, the Mishnah does talk about avos and toldos. That is, the ABCs of Bava Kamma, there are avos and toldos. Either you go down the root of Marikatsu saying that there are toldos be svarin kol tarikula, or you go down the root of Tosus who say that fundamentally, the starting point that there are no toldos, but even Tosus has to concede that certain kinds of toldos are close enough to exist in Kol Tarkul. Again, where one would draw that line of demarcation, I'm not sure.
So, yeah. Could it be that the definition of these words might not be identical in the two cases?
Right, so that's what the Avodah Zarah goes down that route a little bit. I'm not sure, I haven't fine-tuned exactly what the distinction is, but that's along the lines of reason that he goes down to explain to us. You're right. You're right, something along those lines. So can we test case? Are there any other Gemaras that we could look at? So we spoke about Bavakam of the Beis, we referenced the Tosef Maseches Bechoras. Are there any other Gemaras that are relevant for this? So there is a Gemara in the very beginning of Maseches Moed Katan. Just a little bit of a background. It's actually the first Mishnah Maseches Moed Katan. The Mishnah begins with Mashkin Beis Hashlochin B'Moed B'Shvius. The person has a field, and the field has to be irrigated. And if you don't irrigate the field, so then whatever crops you have there potentially may die. So the Mishnah gives us two blanket attainments. The Mishnah says you're allowed to irrigate the field on Moed and Chol HaMoed, and you're allowed to irrigate the field on Shemitah as well. So the Chol HaMoed part is much easier than the Shemitah part. What? Why is it Mutar Chol HaMoed? I know only Malach is also Chol HaMoed. So this is a classic example of what's called the Dover Aved. If a person is afraid they're going to suffer a loss of money, that's considered to be a Dover Aved, and that would be permissible. Dover Aved is a very, very tricky area. Now we can talk about it freely after Chol HaMoed. So no one feels guilty. So the next Chol HaMoed is almost 7 months. We have Shana Muveres this year. So Dover Aved is one of the trickiest areas of Halach and Uchas Chol HaMoed because there's a very, very fine line between what's called the Dover Aved and what's called the Menias HaRevach. Menias HaRevach means I won't make any profit. So the Gemara says explicitly, Menias HaRevach is a problem. A person can't say, oh, no problem, I got to go to work on Chol HaMoed. You know why? Because if I don't go to work on Chol HaMoed, then I'm not going to get paid. And that in and of itself is not a heter. That's called Menias HaRevach. If a person's afraid they're going to lose their job on Chol HaMoed, if they don't go to work on Chol HaMoed, a person's afraid they're going to lose customers, let's say they have set customers, and now these customers aren't going to come anymore, even after Chol HaMoed, that's already a problem. That's a potential Dover Oved. So the line of demarcation, the Dover Oved and Menias HaRevach is a very, very fine line. The Rishonim have a discussion about a very, very common child. What if I have a suffering Dover Aved? It means I don't know what's going to be lost. There's a chance I may suffer a loss. The possibility that I may suffer a loss. So many of the poskim say that's also okay. Why is that? Because the whole heter of Dover Aved, the Ritva writes, is that Chazal was concerned that if a guy's going to be sitting there in a sukkah and enjoying his yontif, and then someone's going to tell him, by the way, your fields are dying, your crops are dying, it's going to shtir his yontif. So the whole goal of Melech Chol HaMoed is you want to enhance the yontif. So if I end up suffering money, suffering a financial loss, that's going to shtir my yontif. So some poskim write, if you have a suffix, you're going to suffer a loss. That's also going to shtay against them. You get a guy sitting in a sukkah, he's enjoying, he's having a simple facial waiver, and somebody comes and says to him, you know, there's a 30% chance that your $500,000 worth of crops are going to die. So what's the guy's reaction going to be? Say, what? Get the irrigating guys. Get them to start, you know, fixing up my field right away. So even a suffix number, it's a lumdish, it's like a psychological one. A suffix tsar is a vade tsar. That means if you're afraid you're going to lose money, so by definition you have a vade tsar. I was telling over a story on the last days of Yom Tov about, I don't know if everyone appreciated it. I thought it was, I was like so excited about it, but I don't know, I guess it depends if people get excited about different things. I said I went one day Chol HaMoed to go to, I needed some cash for something, so I ran to the bank. So I'm always machbid on Chol HaMoed when I take money out of the ATM, not to press receipt. It gives you a choice, either press receipt or no press receipt. So I think it's a problem to press the receipt. To press the receipt is mamash malacha. For what purpose? It's your mamash writing. Printing a receipt is analogous to writing. So what's the tzarech? There's a tzorach to get the money, but unless you have to check, let's say a guy just doesn't know he has enough money, so okay, he wants to make sure anybody knows he has enough money to cover him to lift the chol moed. So what's the answer to press the receipts? I always press the button that says the do not print receipt. So those who know the Teaneck parking situation by Queen Anne, so very often you can't get a parking spot. So but you're allowed to park in the bank spots if you're going to the bank. So one time I parked in the bank and I was going to the bank and the guy stopped me and wanted to write me a ticket. So you have to show that you went to the bank. So you have to mama show the only way to prove that you went to the bank is to show the receipt. So I'm about to park and then I come up with a lomda shashayla. I say, I'm going to park now in the bank spot. I'm going to run into the bank and then I'm going to come out. The cops could be writing me a ticket and I'm going to tell them chagadja that I didn't print out my receipt from the bank because it's chol moed. That's going to get me very far. So it's a dover of it. So I was so excited that, oh, it's a dover of it. How do I know there's going to be a cop there? What are the odds? Maybe you have to look at a little park enforcement guys walking around. So it's a suffic dover. So I was so excited. I'm going to get rid of it. And then it was such a downer. I got a regular parking spot. There was mamash parking spot. Okay, I don't have to park in the bank spot. You want a regular parking spot. Anyway, so Dover Ovid is Mutta. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to irrigate your field on Chol Hamoed. But then the Gemara says, wait a second, on Chol Hamoed, that I understand. What about the next half of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that on Shemitah also, on Shemitah you're allowed to water your field. That's a misadaraisa. You're not allowed to work the field on Shemitah. So just because you're afraid that whatever crops grew by themselves or whatever different things were happening, do you have to do any malachas like karka on Shemitah? It's a misadaraisa. So the Gemara quotes Machlokes Abaye and Rav, what the answer to that problem is, what the answer to the dilemma is. How do you understand Pshat the Mishnah? So Abaye says that this Mishnah is talking about Shemitah bisman hazeh. And Shemitah in today's world is only Midirabbanan. Why is Shemitah today only Midirabbanan? So the reason that the Gemara gives is that Shemitah depends upon Yovel. And Shemitah and Yovel go hand in hand. And Yovel we don't have anymore. Why is there no more Yovel? Because the Pasuk says, across some draw bars the Chol Yoshvel. It says, you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land. The Pasuk on the liberty bell. You shall proclaim liberty throughout the Chol Yoshvel. So the Gemara is a drasha of the Chol Yoshvel. Bizman Shekol Yoshveh Aleha, that the din of Yovel only applies when all of Klai Yisrael, or the majority of Klai Yisrael, or each of the Shvatim Klai, depends on the nuances. How do you define that phrase exactly? But however you define it, doesn't exist. It says Abai, that Abai is sitting and living in Bavel in the year 400, and he's saying in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Kol Yoshveh, there's a handful of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so that's not called Kol Yoshveh anymore. And therefore, the whole institution of Yovel doesn't exist. And when Yovel falls by the wayside, then Shemitah falls by the wayside as well. I bet the Mishnayos talk about Shemitah, the whole Yerushalmi, the whole Talmud Yerushalmi about Shavir. The Amorim, we're observing Shemitah. The Gemara is even the Talmud Bavli speak about Amorim and Eretz Yisrael who kept Shemitah. We know we keep Shemitah today. So what's that based on? So Abai says it must be Midrabanan, that the Chachamim instituted Shemitah as a Zeichet to the Shemitah of old, but it's not a Shemitah D'Araisa. What's the significance of that? Therefore, Abai says, since the whole Shemitah Bizman is as only Midrabanan, so Chazal lifted certain prohibitions when there was a Machom Hefsed. If it would be a real Shemitah D'Araisa, so then it would be Noeg L'chol Davar, I would cost you a lot of money, tough luck. But since the whole Shemitah Bizman is as only Midrabanan, so hey, Baba Meimam, when they lifted that prohibition when there's a situation of a Davar Ovid. So they basically built in, it's almost like Cholomoy, they built in a Hefter of Davar Ovid, since it's only Shemitah Midrabanan. That's a Bayish Pshat in the Mishnah. So Rava says, no, that's not correct. Rava says that it could be Shemitah Zeraisa today. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. It's not so clear Shemitah is only Dirabanam as man as that. But the Mishnah is still correct. The Mishnah is still true. Why is the Mishnah still true? Because what is the Mishnah letting you do? The Mishnah is letting you water your field. So you started off with this assumption. Watering fields, gevalt, that's a terrible thing. It's a violation of Shemitah. It's a disaster. Chayav Golos, and a terrible thing is going to happen from watering the fields during Shemitah. Rava says, what's so terrible about watering fields during Shemitah? There's nothing else about watering fields anyway in Shemitah. There's nothing else in the Torah. You're allowed to water your crops during Shemitah. Why? How do you know? How do you know you're allowed to water your crops during Shemitah? So Rava says, well, open up Parshas Bahar, and we'll learn a couple of psukim together. What does it say in the Chumash in Parshas Bahar? The Torah says, Sheishanim Tizra Sadecha. I can remember what it says. V'shana hashviyis. If I don't land, it won't be. Shabbat Shabbason Yiel Oretz. Shabbat Lashem Sodcha Lo Sizra. Okay, I'm not allowed to plant my seeds. Okay, I got that. V'char Mechol Lo Sizmor. And I'm not allowed to prune my vineyards. I got it so far. Sviyak Kitzur Lo Siktzor. Invade Yisrael Lo Siktzor. That's already a different thing, a harvesting, those kinds of things. But there are only four things that the Torah says you're not allowed to do during Shemitah. So the two that are relevant for us is Tizra or Tizmar. You're not allowed to plant seeds during Shemitah. You're not allowed to prune trees during Shemitah. What else are you not allowed to do? So Rabbah says, everything else is okay. Everything is fine. There's nothing wrong. This is not called Zeria. This is not called Zemira. It's not called planting, and it's not called pruning. So therefore, it's okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second, it's okay. But wait a second, Hilchos Shabbos, we know that you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. It's one of the Lamates Velochas. It's one of the third Amelos. You're not allowed to water your grass on Shabbos. You're not allowed to sprinkle water on your seeds on Shabbos. That's an Issa D'Oraisa. Mashkes Azroim is an Issa D'Oraisa. Chayef Skila for Mashkes Azroim on Shabbos. So just as you're Chayef on Shabbos, shouldn't you be Chayef in Shemitah also? What's Rava talking about? So the answer to that question is going to be part of the riddle of Baba Kama. What's the answer to that question? How come when it comes to Shemitah, somehow we're looking the other way? It comes to Shemitah, it's only Mashkes Azroim, don't worry about it. We don't worry about it. If it's also on Shabbos, why shouldn't it be also on Shemitah? So hopefully that's from tomorrow. We have to go back. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have a Bechsav. We have to analyze the Sugi inside. So the Gemara that Bezim and Bezim like Katan is the pivotal point of Anakuda. What is the status of Toldos outside of the Shabbos? So up until now we know there are for sure Avos and Toldos in the Shabbos. Tosfos told us there are no Avos and Toldos, no Toldos in the Bechor. Marikat told us there are Toldos in the Zikin. And now we're trying to figure out what is the rule. So we're going to turn back to that Gemara for the Mitzvah tomorrow and the Beis and Beis and Marikatan to try to see how Toldos play out in Shemitah and how that impacts everything we've been talking about.